Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, your host, and with me today, somebody new, everyone. So if you're a dog, you'll be wagging your tail standing at the door. If you're a cat, you're probably hiding under the bed. Somebody new coming to visit here from Pilots and Paws. I bet you can guess what that's about, but maybe not. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I went to your website. And I'm really glad we're having you here because I never heard of you before. But once I got there, I clicked on the first story that caught my eye. And I read about Inca and Joe. And I got, you know, I really got teared up. It's beautiful. Can you tell everybody about Inca and Joe?
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, what Pilots and Paws does is we have volunteer pilots who provide rescue transport for animals out of shelters or for service animals. We fly a lot of animals for members of our military, and they donate all of their time, the expenses of their fuel for their planes, you know, all costs associated with flying. But what we had was we had a really special situation where there was a member of our military from Afghanistan who had worked with a dog while he was serving our country overseas, and our pilots actually provided transport to reunite that soldier with his dog. And that was
Like the guy had to keep serving and the dog had done its full stint. That's got to be tough, breaking a partnership apart like that.
Oh, exactly. It was just, there's a great video. It's online on our website. We featured it. And it's just really heartwarming, you know, to see, we have so many times where we've reunited an animal with someone, you know, maybe the pet was lost or other members of the military, and it's really just heartwarming, you know, to see those reunions.
Well, especially with the latest take on things, because even just today there was a funeral for a military man who took his own life suffering from PTSD, and it was very, very big news in Canada, very big funeral, and just horrible, and now we're learning more and more about this, and they're starting to assign dogs for it. So I'm guessing in the future you'll be flying dogs around to help these soldiers out, if you aren't already.
Done that. We have. Yeah, we have annual flyaway events where we have hundreds of pilots come together to all on the same day to transport. At our last flyway, we actually flew more than 500 animals to safety.
Oh.
And as part of that program, we emptied the Fort Stewart shelter out of Hinesville, Georgia.
Okay.
And those animals were actually flown up to New Jersey, where they're being trained to be comfort and service dogs for members of our military, many of them suffering from PTSD.
Oh, that's amazing. I remember, what's his name? Al Franken from SNL. One of the first things he did as a senator, that was the first bill that he ever passed. And those who were skeptical, you know, I mean, he's political, he's savvy, he's bright, he's a funny comedy, but was he really the material for politics? Well, yes, he was and is, and well done on that. So thank goodness soldiers are getting the dogs they need. I can't imagine walking through a crowded place and thinking I'm back in a different time.
Exactly. I mean, we had some pilots or some military, if you guys, do you have time for another story?
Oh, absolutely.
So this is actually back in 2009, but it's one of my favorites. We had a group of soldiers stationed in Afghanistan who adopted a dog that they found, and she was a stray puppy. She wouldn't have survived if they hadn't taken her in.
Right.
And so they, you know, she would run alongside them during their drills and while they were training, and then when they were supposed to, the soldiers were supposed to come back stateside, you know, the question came up, what do we do with Allie, this dog that we've taken in? So one of them, Corporal Michael Lemons, he, his family and friends raised enough money to fly the dog stateside, and then our pilots took over in New York and flew the dog all the way to Kentucky. And it was really heartwarming. ABC did a great video on it. It just shows the reunion of, you know, Sergeant Lemons coming home and being reunited with Allie. And he spoke about how they have to leave so much behind when they come overseas. And just having that dog there, having that piece of home was just so comforting for them.
Oh, that's a nice story, too. So the pilots, how do you find your pilots? Are these Army pilots?
They're general aviation pilots, and we have booth space at different aviation functions. You know, there might be some pilots listening to your show who then would go to our website, www.pilotsandpaws.org, to get signed up. Or maybe there's someone out there who knows a pilot who might, you know, tell them about our organization, and then they can get registered to volunteer. And we have about... We actually have close to 4,000 pilots. We're about 70 pilots away from 4,000 right now.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard about this for long-haul truckers and for drivers who are willing to go 10 or so miles one direction to collect a dog and leave it, you know, transfer it 10 or so miles another direction from their town, and they build like a link, usually to get pit bulls out, usually, but for other things too. It's great to use it, especially if some of them are flying anyway. So they're flying with an empty plane somewhere, right? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, that's actually the premise of Pilots and Paws, because flying is very, very expensive, and so it's very cost prohibitive. But, you know, our premise is, if you're already flying somewhere, perhaps for work or business, you know, why not check the forum board and see if there's an animal that you can take with you and, you know, save a life? One other special thing is we are a 501c3 charitable organization. So if a pilot does make a flight for Pilots and Paws, he can deduct portions of the flight on his taxes. So that's kind of a nice feature of Pilots and Paws, too.
Okay, so where do people go? Can you give out your website so people know how to look at these videos, see these happy reunions and the dogs
and
the planes?
Yeah, they can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, but our website is pilotsandpaws.org. And that's P-I-L-O-T-S, the letter N, P-A-W-S. .org.
Okay, you know what? I Googled it and searched it wrong, and I still got to the right place.
Okay,
so you're set up well online.
Find us.
Okay, everybody. We'll be back later in the show. We're going to talk about some of the animals in the news when Dr. Carol joins us. We'll be talking about the whales that have beached themselves and maybe that fainting squirrel. Stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I really do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Radio, and we're talking to Kathleen, and we're talking about pilots and paws, and pilots when they're going somewhere empty, volunteering to take a dog, usually a dog who's going to do something good, like make a soldier comforted and relaxed and get over PTSD. So I want to hear more about this. Are there any other reunions you're doing? I heard about the one where reunited with the unit and reunited after the service end. The dog had to keep serving and the person was retired, so, or at least brought back. So then when the dog finally came back stateside, you reunited the guy with the dog. That's nice. What else have you got? Let's go for the tears. Come on, Kathleen. Let us pour it on.
Most of the animals we fly are rescue animals. And so we're literally getting them out of these kill shelters. I mean, these are just, you know, very emotional stories because the animals are being saved at the last minute, and our pilots are making these life-saving flights to rescues, you know, who will find them homes, or to adopted families who are already waiting for them. And, you know, it's kind of nice because we hear so often that, you know, from people who our pilots have flown for, and they'll talk about how, you know, they thought they were rescuing an animal, but what ultimately ended up happening was, you know, their new pet changed their life for the better. You know, people suffering from illnesses, it gave them motivation to wake up each day and take care of the animal, or, you know, go out and have a new positive start, find a new job. So, yeah, we actually have flown 15,000 animals so far this year.
There's something really to that. You know, animals are grateful and they bond with you. And an animal, sometimes people think, oh, I need to have a puppy from the very beginning for it to bond with me. Well, it's true. A little tiny puppy that knows no other family will definitely think of you as its pack. But a rescue dog who's had a bad life is going to think of you as its savior. And that's an even bigger connection because it knows what life was like without a pack. So it thinks the sun rises and sets on your head. It is so devoted. You will not have to worry about come when called at the park. This dog's not letting you out of his sight. You're his salvation. And so it's a whole other level.
So many of our pilots comment on how it just seems like the animal really knows that they're being saved that day and, you know, they're being brought to a better place, which is really, really nice. It's like they're so happy to be out of the shelter and they're so loving. And even though they've been through, you know, some of them just awful experiences that no one would even want to think about, you know, they're just still so loving. And, you know,
it's amazing what animals can bounce back from. Like when I think of these hens I knew that had been in a terrible factory situation and they got sprung and then the people didn't know what to do with them because they were on their farm and they were doing things like standing out in the rain and not knowing how to perch, and they thought the birds were going to die from exposure and not figure out anything. So I took them to my farm and it took roughly 6 weeks, which sounds like a long time. But these birds had been born in captivity, spent their entire life knowing nothing, you know, and they had to learn shade, sun, how to find bugs, how to use feeders, waterers, how to get the ramp up into the coop, how to go into the coop at night, how to perch. Okay, all these normal chicken things. The first time they saw a shadow, it scared the heck out of them. The first time they saw the sun, they were scared, you know, and 6 weeks, that's all it took. You couldn't tell them from the rest. So it's amazing to me how resilient animals can be, you know, and I've seen like dogs who've been abused their whole growing up years, and at 4, 5, 6, with some work and love and tenderness and kindness and routines, the dog doesn't even seem like he'd ever been abused or hurt or without. And if you think about a person suffering the same way, if you were only released from this kind of cruelty at age 21 or 30, what kind of person would you be? I mean, animals are amazing, really. Hey, Kathleen?
Oh, it's so true. You know, and another thing is we see a lot where people will be adopting an animal, you know, as kind of a companion for maybe they had an older pet already. And, you know, one of the, you know, litter mate passed away. So people will adopt an older animal, you know, for that reason. And, yeah, it's really great what you see. They bounce back. They're so happy. These flyways that we have where we have, you know, we just rescued over 500 animals out of Georgia, actually.
Nice.
At our most recent flyway. And, you know, they're just so happy. They've been through so much, but they're just giving all the pilots kisses. You know, so many of our pilots come on as that's, you know, really payment enough for the flights is just all the puppy kisses that they get.
And you think of it, that's a big man in a uniform on a noisy plane. I mean, except for the ones who've already done military service, these dogs should be shaking in their boots. But they're smart and they're empathic, like all dogs. And
exactly.
They read what's
and
in the
know,
heart of the driver. They
remarkable.
Read the mood. That driver comes in like Superman saving the day, and the dog knows it.
Yeah, they really do. They're so intuitive. And, you know, so many times people would think that they would be scared during the flight. And I was actually shocked when I first learned that usually when they end up on those planes, they actually sleep pretty much the entire transport. And I think it's just the engine actually seems to kind of lull them into a really relaxed state. So, you know,
there's a couple reasons for that. They have probably been on stress overload up until the time they're in the plane. And it's really, really on as they're being loaded and or maybe freed or escaped or rescued, however you want to consider it from the dog's point of view. And the noise and the sounds and everything, it just overwhelms them. And once they know they're safe, okay, they need rest. They really do. Yeah, but it's amazing that you can do that for them. And you have so many happy endings. Everybody, if you want to see something that'll really touch your heart, go to this website, go to Facebook, check out these beautiful reunions. Now, what if someone listening thinks, I would like one of those dogs? What do they do, Kathleen?
Well, so what we do is we don't actually adopt the animals out. These are animals that already have homes found. So what they could do is they could go to petfinder.com. Or they could call, you know, some of the local rescues. And then when they have transport, you know, a request, perhaps maybe they live in South Carolina, but they found a dog in Florida, then they could go to pilesandpaws.org and they register on our website by creating a username and password. It's really easy. And then all transport requests originate on our form board. So they would then post a request. And then pilots along the flight path are automatically notified via message, and they actually reach out directly to the people who need transport.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. Now, petfinder.com, for everybody listening, it's a place where you can get usually neutered or spayed, almost always, dogs or cats or other pets, and you get to type in exactly what you're searching for, and they'll find a homeless one anywhere in North America, and then you can figure out how to get it. So
exactly.
This is how you get it. Now I'm putting the two together. This is wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us. Maybe, you know, that rule about don't get a dog for anybody for Christmas. Maybe you rescue a dog yourself for Christmas. How about that, everybody? What do you think, Kathleen?
I think that'd be a wonderful Christmas gift.
There you go. All right, everyone. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. Carol on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're near.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-collars, remote trainers, have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Radio, it's Deb Wolf, and you send me the greatest emails and questions. Sometimes they're about your dogs and your cats and their little itchy bums and scratchy ears, and other times they're like this one. You're watching the news, and you want to know the why behind the animal news. So, Dr. Carol, I hope you had a chance. Our listeners have emailed me, and there's been emails to three different places today, a couple to each. What's up with the fainting squirrel? Everybody who's online right now, if you Google fainting squirrel, you will see this darn thing shown on a grassy lawn, eating probably birdseed or something, and he keeps fainting. What's up with that?
Well, little Tippy, who has been named Tippy by his 300,000 internet viewers.
Oh, no, Tippy. Tippy's famous. He's going to have to start doing crack like Toronto's mayor. Oh, poor Tippy. Okay, what's up with Tippy?
Well, at first, the viewers thought that Tippy's symptoms might be similar to something that we refer to as narcolepsy. Now, narcolepsy is a neurologic disorder that affects your body's control of sleeping versus being awake. But not everybody, you know, was okay with that. So if it's not narcolepsy, then what could it be? A lot of people thought, well, maybe he ate so many nuts he was collapsing from fatigue. But that was not the theory.
We had people asking about toxicity and asking about rabies for some reason, but they don't know. They want you to tell them.
Exactly. So they've had another thing they've talked about is myotonia congenita, which is a neuromuscular sort of disorder that affects the moving muscles, if you will. It's kind of like having a muscle cramp, but your muscles relax and then they contract at random, if you will. But the most agreeable explanation would be that this is the first case of what we refer to as squirrel colepsy. And what that means is the first case of narcolepsy in a squirrel. So they just, you know, they can't stay awake real well. So they're awake. My dad had narcolepsy, and you'd be talking to him, and then all of a sudden you'd look over and his head would be down and a snore would come out. So that's what this little squirrel has. And you might know that there are YouTube videos of goats with the very same illness.
Yes, the fainting goats. Yes.
They've gone viral as well.
The problem with the fainting goats is, even though it's kind of a not great, I mean, in survival terms, it's not a good trait. You're going to get killed. People like it, so they've bred for it. And I find that a little troubling. Do you find that troubling?
Yes, because the only way that something like this, you know, shows up is you've got a recessive gene, so both the mother and the father must have that gene in order, you know, for it to possibly come out in the sibling or the offspring. But Deborah, yes, I completely agree with you. And breeding to, for example, promote narcolepsy or in this case, squirrel colepsy, I think is not a good idea at all. And, you know, people need to kind of think clearly before they start to do things that are kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know what's weird about when you say narcolepsy, I guess I misunderstood this previously. I thought the person fell asleep, like for some minutes or hours. This squirrel seemed to be, and the goats seemed to be fainting and getting up within 10 to 40 seconds, less
right.
than a minute, and they're back
yeah.
on their feet. Is that how it was with your dad? Did he nod off and wake up?
My dad would go back and forth, and it could be seconds and it could be minutes. And although I've not extensively researched squirrel colepsy, I would venture to say that reducing the size of the animal and the blood pressure and the system and everything else can take minutes and move them into seconds. When you're just a teeny tiny little squirrel.
Yeah,
just simmering it down to the, you know, a little, you know, 3 or 4 ounce squirrel versus, you know, 100 to a 200 pound person.
Right. Okay,
so
is there any reason why, and this kind of troubles me too, in terms of what we eat, something like a fainting squirrel, something at an auction being bought by a restaurant, being sold as food and being put on my plate, should I be worried? Because I think normally such signs would show you an animal's not fit to eat. Is it not fit to eat?
Well, I completely agree with you. In my opinion, no, it is not fit to eat. Neither is squirrel. A food on the menu that
no,
I've been able, you know, to identify. But you bring up a great point, Deb, because when you look at all those commercials, and I won't mention any names, but it says, oh, animal protein, more and more animal protein, and dog and cat owners, beware, because when they say animal protein, they're not kidding. And remember that squirrels are animals. So watch that clever marketing and advertising, because you probably don't want to be feeding your dog dead squirrels. I know I wouldn't.
Well, okay, there's an interesting idea, because I had a wolf cross years ago. He did eat squirrels and rabbits and whatever he could catch when we were out camping and things like this. And I'm not so sure, you know, when your cat eats mice all day, isn't that kind of healthier, fresher food than what I might provide?
Well, you know, in the wild, you know, stray cats, you know, they're living on their own. Certainly, you know, that's what they're bred for. That's their natural instinct. So, sure, that's fine. But if you're going to ask me if I think that eating rats is healthier than a diet that I would have you prepare for your cat, you know, maybe in the wild, and that was the only thing, you know, that they had, there was no alternative. But I think in today's world, we have plenty of alternatives. And although
okay, let's say a hybrid example. Somebody's in a little farmhouse, many, many families out there are, and their
okay.
cat goes in and out. And what do you do? If your cat catches a mouse, are you really saying they should try and take it away?
No.
No. That's what your cats sound like. Yeah, you're going.
No,
but seriously, like I remember years ago, a Hill Science Diet guy talking about how great his cat food was because it was equivalent to 12 or 18 mice a day, which is what a cat needs, you know. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, well, that's interesting. I'm going to keep that, retain that one for later. So I don't know. Like, I guess you're worried about the mouse maybe being poisoned, but don't cats automatically somehow know not to eat things that are poison?
Cats are very clever, and their natural instincts as far as what to eat and what not to eat are also in general quite excellent. So no, you would never want to take a mouse away from the cat. That would be like punishing the cat for doing a good deed. So certainly you always want to respect the innate natural behaviors of any and all animals. But just taking it to today's world, to most dogs and cats that are living in homes with moms and dads.
Right.
Certainly, I think that the meals that we can prepare offer a lot more than having to fend for yourself in the wild. But are both acceptable, of course. I was simply making a comment for dog and cat owners that are shopping at the local markets for their pets' meals to beware of anything that is labeled as animal protein, because as we were just talking
Dr.
about the
Carol,
squirrel.
We're quickly running out of time, so
yes.
We'll be back with our next segment and keep talking about that and some of the whales, because you sent me in emails about the whales stuck in Florida. We'll talk about that too on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, and we're talking about animal protein, and as we went to break, we will talk about the whales, though, don't worry, if you sent me an email, why are whales beaching themselves? Okay, Dr. Carol's now heard me ask that for you. We did get an awful lot of emails about this, Dr. Carol, but on that protein comment, when you said, you know, you want to know what you're feeding. And when you go to the store and you turn over the label and all it says is animal protein, immediately I flashed, you know, out on a date, 2 humans, they go to a nice restaurant, they're all dressed up, they open up the menu and it says animal protein. There's no way they'd order that. No way.
Well, if you look
like
at
mystery meat, you know?
Mystery meat. Well, that mystery meat is one of the top running commercials on TV about every 15 minutes in my house, for a major brand of food, and the hallmark or the highlight of their commercial is that it's got 30-something% protein, but it's animal protein. In other words, it's not beef, it's not chicken, it's not pork, it's not veal. It's nothing we can identify. And I'm just giving you a little
tip. No, because it's from the floor of the slaughterhouse, and lots of different animals are slaughtered there, apparently. Or they pick it up at different locations. But it's the worst of the worst of the worst, right?
It's the worst, absolutely the worst. I completely agree.
Yucky. Okay, let's switch from the dogs and the cats and the land animals to the good people of Florida, many policemen and women from Miami in the water right now, volunteers in the water, 100 boats in the water, and they are trying their best, but they're really not having much success. Already 10 pilot whales have died. The whales, there's 15 boats. They need more boats. There's 31 people. Each whale is a ton. And that's part of the problem. They're between 6 and 10 meters, and they're beaching themselves in a couple feet of water, 3 feet of water. Now, this morning when I last looked at it, they were making a boat barrier and had quite a few of them into 75 feet of water. So that was a big improvement from 3 feet. But there's a whole bunch still in shallow, and some of them are heading back. So our listeners wanted to know, Dr. Carol, does this have anything to do with the Gulf spill? Was the number one question I got. And then there were other reasons, the other questions, like, are the whales really sick, like the news says, and why are they doing this, and what should we do, and that kind of thing.
Well, as far as what we should do, I think that the workers and the volunteers are trying to literally do everything that they possibly can. Whether or not that this is possibly related to the oil spills, you know, I can't say for sure, obviously, but that's also one of the first things on my mind as that oil, you know, gets all over them and clogs their air holes and their ability to breathe. You know, they only have so many options as well. Once they end up where they are now in approximately, you know, just 3 feet of water for an animal that's 16 to 20 feet long, first of all, they dehydrate. Second, they're dying of malnutrition. But understand that whales, to my level of understanding, are so highly intelligent that their intelligence exceeds ours. So they're not going to leave their friends. They're going to stay there and wait to try. You know, they're not going to leave their friend astray, if you will. So some of the researchers are trying to ascertain whether or not that's the case, that one whale might be sick or stuck, and the other whales just aren't going to leave their friend. In addition to that, the sandbars make it difficult to get them back into the deeper water, and then you have to understand that it's approximately they're 20 miles out to where the water is deep enough to allow them to survive. And this is a tough thing. I can't say why.
And they might head back. I've had it where I've rescued a dog out of a frozen pond and made it right back to the bank, and the stupid dog went right back in the water. They might head right back if we don't figure out why they're doing this, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. And although there could be a million and one reasons, the oil spills, I agree with all your pet-loving listeners that would be the very first thing on my mind. And again, understanding that these short fin pilot whales are very gregarious, extremely intelligent, very friendly, and they're not going to leave their friends or their family, the members of the pod, which is the family unit for the whale. They're just not going to desert them. If any of you saw
now,
that,
is it true there's a lead matriarch? There's one big dominant female in charge of the group with whales? That's what I've heard and read. Is that still holding true?
To my understanding, yes.
So maybe she's the one, and they won't leave her. And she's saying, no, 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 go your own way. And they're saying, no, we won't leave you. It's possible. That could be where. I wish they had some animal. Well, maybe they do have some animal behavioralists on the scene to figure this out. Somebody has to try and speak to those whales, figure out what it is they want, and figure out how to show them how they can get it.
Yeah, and again, if the lead animal is in trouble, each animal in that pod is going to stay right there as a family unit, and they're going to follow and stay with that lead animal, which may, Deb, be exactly what's happened here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And they were trying to herd with the boats, and I thought to myself, first of all, if I was trying to herd those kind of animals with that kind of speed on land, I would need with the speed they have, because dog to cow is a good speed ratio. Dog to goat, dog to sheep is a good speed ratio. Boat to whale is a terrible speed ratio. They can't maneuver like the whales at all, right? Like they just can't go under. So, and they can't see half the time, more than half the time, where the whale is. So it's really bad. They should have had so many more boats, and they should have stuck a dog on every boat. I really think that would have helped, a herding dog on every boat, honestly. Just follow their movement, and you'll be able to steer your boat. Because dogs flag, they point, they show you. I swear to you, that could have been one of the solutions. But they didn't think of that, and they didn't do that, especially when they were on the beach. They could have herded them out as a wall. But this is just not what humans are good at, is it?
Yeah, no. In fact, of the whales that have died, and there have been several, they're performing autopsies, or what we call necropsies, to try to determine why, the pod is carried out on this mass stranding kind of issue. They had, I think, in 2011, they had 23 pilot whales that were stranded and beached, about two dozen in 2012, and now we're in 2013, and we've got a real mess on our hands. And I think, you know, everybody needs to get together and see what we can do. And again, getting back to these oil companies and the spills, I hate to say it, Deb, but I agree with you. I think that this might not be the end, but the beginning of some of the effects that we are going to see from these spills.
They navigate like salmon in some ways. Some ways they use their sonar and sound, which is a whole other issue with the signals and the emissions we now have constantly, and even thinking of more emissions and packages sending constant signals and all this noise pollution for the birds and the whales and anything under the water is really horrible. But there's so much there to confuse them. A salmon smells the water it was born in and returns from halfway around the earth to the place it was born and knows how to do that by smell. So if whales are using smell, it just doesn't smell right when there's oil everywhere. They're lost because they can't find the place they're looking for, maybe.
Well, I agree.
We only have 1 minute. I'm sorry, Dr. Carroll.
One minute.
Can you tell them? I know he didn't warn us at all. All right. Can you tell them how to get you as quick as you can? And we'll be back next week with more on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Dr. Carroll. All right, Dr. Carroll, let them know. How can they reach you?
I'm Dr. Carol Osborne, and you can reach us right here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. You can visit us online at carolonpets.com, and if you happen to live in the Chagrin Falls area, this Monday, we are opening the first integrative wellness center for dogs and cats in the state of Ohio.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Carroll, and everybody else out there. Be good to your animals. We'll be back next week on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf. Talk to you then.